Now, this is letter number 1116 for our Living Theology Friends by Leon Combs for April the 17th, 2011. This is the 15th in the group on the church. This one is Death for a Christian. Death is inevitable from birth for each of us, so we should be prepared to face it with confidence and hope. Death is a goal for every Christian. I have an article titled Dealing with Death at livingtheology.com/death.htm, and I hope that you will take time to read it. At 72 years of age, I have attended a number of funerals and heard some very good and some really bad preaching concerning death. I'm sorry that one speaker I recently heard had such a bad experience with the death of his dad that he confused death with the process of dying. The place where the speaker's father was being cared for as he was dying had pictures of a sunrise and a sunset presented as gloriously similar to birth and death. He was greatly offended because he could only think of the difficulties that often accompany dying. Childbirth also can be very painful and dangerous, but the actual birth of a child is wonderful. Similarly, the dying of a Christian can be very stressful and trying for the family and very painful for the person dying, but the actual transition brought by death is a glorious event for a Christian. This speaker said that death was not a portal, but for a Christian, death is a glorious portal to the presence of God. Some people do not like some implications of the word portal, as it is used by some non-Christians to minimize death or misrepresent its true meaning, but death is truly the doorway or portal to eternal life with God for the Christian. Many people think of death as being the last terrible enemy, but for the Christian, Jesus defeated that enemy for all those who are his. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, "But when this perishable shall have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Speakers who present death as horrible are certainly not reassuring to those present who have lost loved ones or those who are ill and facing death. By contrast, Paul presented an encouraging insight for all Christians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And 2 Corinthians 5, verses 5 through 8, "Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us his Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Jesus also gave us reassuring words about life after death. John 14, verses 2 to 3, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus' tears just before Lazarus being brought back to life were not to validate crying at funerals. A close study of Scripture shows that Jesus is recorded as crying two times, and each time it is because of the unbelief of the people and not because of a death. Luke 19:41, "And when he approached," meaning Jerusalem, "he saw the city and wept over it." For an explanation of this verse, read Luke 19, verses 42 to 44, that clearly records that the weeping of Jesus was for those who refused to recognize him as the Son of God and the Messiah. The destruction of the city was imminent. And the second episode for Jesus crying is weeping is John 11, verse 35. It simply says, Jesus wept. Note that Jesus' purpose, this is about the death of Lazarus, but note that Jesus purposefully did not come until he knew Lazarus was dead. If he was crying because of the death of Lazarus, then why had he waited 2 days so that he knew that he had died? Also note his reason for waiting is so that they may believe, John 11, 15, 40 and 42, and that God will be glorified, John 11, verse 4 and verse 40. Also note that even after explaining to Martha, she did not understand or believe because she took the meaning to be the resurrection at the last day, John 11, verses 24 to 27. When Jesus saw Mary and the Jews weeping, he knew they did not believe, and he wept, John 11, 33 to 35. Also note that Lazarus was not resurrected because he died again. Lazarus was temporarily resuscitated. There is only one resurrection recorded in the Bible, and that is for Jesus Christ, Revelation 1, 5 and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Death for a Christian is indeed a glorious occasion, as this person is now present with the Lord. Philippians 1, 23 and 24, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 9. The weeping of Jesus at the death of Lazarus is not to justify crying at funerals, for Jesus was certainly not crying because of the death of his friend or the sadness of those present at the wake. However, we may certainly cry at funerals because we will miss the person who physically died until we die also, and are reunited with all who have died with faith in Christ. The Bible certainly validates that there are times to weep and mourn for sadness. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4. We should also weep when we are convicted of our sins. Mark 14, verse 72. This is about Peter. And immediately a cock crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a cock crows twice, you will deny me three times," and he began to weep. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 through 11. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. We do not weep for death itself because it is a portal, not in the New Age sense, to the presence of God. And the Christian who dies is in the presence of his Lord and Savior, whom he loves and has worshipped. We love each day so that when death comes, we may say with the Apostle Paul, that's recorded for us in Philippians 1, 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." May God bless each of you. In Jesus' name, amen.